You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Lights out, we're underway. That's Motorsport Republica podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. Motorsport Republica, episode 132.
He's got it right. He's got it right. What's going on, my bro?
Yeah, it was an interesting weekend, and it's been heavily criticized, this track, isn't it? So we'll get into that tonight, because I thought Valencia was the go-kart of go-kart tracks, but this has taken the cake, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's a go-kart track. You know what's funny? All the aerial footage, it looks like Misano.
It does, yeah.
Which
yeah.
is weird enough. Yeah. But the chicanes are super tight. It actually made good racing for Moto2 and Moto3. Like, it wasn't that bad, but the main MotoGP race is a bit of a snooze fest for a few different reasons.
Yeah, it's just a funny layout, isn't it? And I think I mentioned on... It was probably Friday night or Saturday night. I think if you took out even one of those chicanes, you could really change your track. It's like how in Austria, they've put one chicane and it's wrecked the whole track. You could almost take one chicane out and make that track.
Have you seen there's a track in... It's just when I went down an obscure Instagram reel lane. There's a track in like Russia or some random country. And it's literally a square with two chicanes in it.
No way.
Yeah, it is the most diabolical track ever. But it just reminded me of that, where it's basically just...
Yeah, it's funny. Sometimes simple tracks aren't that bad. I mean, look at Sao Paulo in Brazil. I mean, you just have to have one section that's sort of, you know, that back straight, obviously, or the front straight, say, Brazilian. It's like, you see one something that's memorable.
But with Sao Paulo, you know what's good about it? It has rounded corners where like a 90-degree chicane or a 90-degree corner can be good, but you can't build a whole track on a 90-degree corner, can you?
No.
Which is the... And what was scary is like Ennea Bastianini going through that... falling off, and then you could immediately, knowing he was going back on the racing line, looking back to his left.
Yeah, it's funny. Chicanes are supposed to make things safer, but yeah, I don't think that in this scenario.
Nah. Anyway, we'll dive into all of that, I guess.
Yes. Now you want to chat about, we've got a new little partner.
Yeah. So shout out to Airshot Media, Mr. Peter that does that. Get around him. He does all videography, photography stuff for basically anything. A lot of motorsport stuff. He's going to be doing a lot of stuff with us as well. He's done it for a few of our partners like Bike Evan. So shout out to Peter. He's really, really, really good to deal with. Airshot Media is the guy. If you just look up his Instagram, you can see all the work that he's done. But he's really good to deal with, super professional, and he is the man for anything that you need, like videography stuff or photography stuff, I believe. For just about anything, any walk of life, he'll do it. Doesn't just have to be motorsport either.
That's good. Well, we've got Curtis, who is our sound and audio engineer.
Yeah.
And now we've got Pete, who's our video and videography engineer. So we've got all bases covered here at Motorsport Republica.
That's right. So shout out to Airshot Media.
Awesome. And guys, we're loving the fact, you know, like and subscribe on YouTube and all the love we're getting on Instagram as well. So we really appreciate that. So keep it up. And then the big thing now, guys, this is round one for us, Patreon.
Yep.
Extra chats, post this pod. Pod will be as normal. We'll have our normal 1 hour podcast, but extra 20 to 30 minutes post pod that we'll post on our Patreon. Subscribe to that. It's $10 a month and it really helps us take the podcast to the next level as well. So
yeah,
really appreciate it.
You get even better content out of out of us.
You do. And you also get, you know, 20% off our merch and early giveaways, that sort of thing. So be part of the community. We really appreciate it.
And the last time we're going to be in this set.
It is last time.
It's going to look a bit different next week.
Yeah, we've got a new our new studio that's getting built at the moment.
Getting built right now.
So we're moving into that in about a week's time. So we're very excited.
Very excited.
Yes, so yes, yes, yes.
It's all happening. Things are moving.
All right, so... I'm going to get into the results, Jimmy boy.
Go on.
It's becoming a theme now, isn't it? Mark Marquez first. Pedro Acosta second. Bezecchi third. Jorge Martin fourth. Yep. Amazing race. And really went under the radar to a certain extent in the race and then pops out in fourth. So he did an amazing job. Luca Marini fifth. Morbidelli sixth. Brad Binder seventh. Pol Espargaro eighth. Pecco Bagnaia ninth. And Quartararo rounding at the top 10. So
for a boring race, there's a lot to unpack.
There's a lot to unpack. There's a lot to unravel, starting probably with Bagnaia. I mean, he finishes behind the part-timer, Pol Espargaro, which is just, yeah.
And I get it, Pol Espargaro tested there, but Pol Espargaro is only going to be fast there for FP1, which he was, because they have all the data for setting up like your gearbox ratios and suspension setups and everything. So you're instantly going to be faster than everyone else. But to lose to Pol Espargaro, and a lot, not just Bagnaia, a lot of riders did. And credit to Pol Espargaro for at least putting the bike there. Like, he's obviously still fast. He's still quick.
To finish 14 seconds behind the leader, I mean, I just think that's the ride of the day, ride of the weekend. I mean, what an unbelievable effort. He comes in as a part-timer. Yeah, it's on a new track, as you touched on. But to get in the top 10, I mean, you're finishing ahead of Bagnaia, Quartararo, you know, Alex Marquez,
who crashed.
100%. But yeah, I mean,
still all quality amazing
riders. Amazing effort. Yeah. So I think for me, that was, the ride of the day, wasn't it? Unbelievable.
How many finishes were there?
There was 15, I think. 16 finishes. But Aldeguer,
Alex
crashed. Both crashed. Digia had to pit at the start of the race, which is a strange one. You never really see that in MotoGP.
Nah, so it was obviously technical issues, but it was... He came out for his sighting lap and it was, his bike was just lacking power for whatever reason. And then obviously we all watched on a telecast, like they had it all plugged in, they started it up. And he had the choice of either just going straight into the pits and swapping bikes and then had a double long lap or take the risk and then mount back onto the grid, which obviously the bike was still lacking power. Still had to swap bikes and then had to start from pit lane.
So if the bike came off the grid, and he went to his spare bike, could he then go out to the side of the warm-up lap and start in his position and then get two long laps?
Yes,
because I reckon he should have been better off doing that.
I know, but they took the gamble of fixing the problem and then just having a normal race.
Yeah.
Which I can understand. I can honestly understand both reasons.
Yeah.
Because they thought they fixed the problem, but it just sucks. Because like starting from double long lap kind of ruins your race anyway, let's be honest, unless it's a very, you know, short long lap penalty loop. Which is already a contentious issue for Alex Marquez.
Yeah, we spoke about that last week.
But to start from pit lane, like you saw the aerial shot from that, from the start of the race, the first lap, and bro, Digia was fucking like 7 seconds behind. Oh, it's like, the race is gone. You're only saved if it's a red flag. And it was a close to a red flag of Andrea Bastianini, that's for sure.
Yeah, 100%. And he finished behind Alex, who crashed on the first corner.
Yeah.
So... For me, it's the gamble definitely did not pay off. Really, it really does pay off as we talk about in motorsport. But a bit of a shocker because he was sort of back in form, wasn't he?
Yeah, like he got a sprint podium.
Mm.
So he was there or thereabouts. And I guess being on a new track, it's funny because it just takes everyone. It took riders a little bit to obviously find their feet and find the speed. Like Pedro Acosta had the speed and then it just showed how much qualifying means because he fluffed qualifying, crashed on his outlap or opening lap or whatever. Bang, he can only put in like a fifth or a sixth in qualifying. Fucked his sprint and lucky he kind of made P2. But, you know, even starting sixth, seventh, like what he did, it just hemorrhages your whole weekend. It hemorrhages all your racing.
Yeah, for me, it's... He does make a lot of mistakes in Q2, doesn't he? And it's been his Achilles heel this year. Because it's amazing how KDM has just come this far. I mean, I think, you know, Bastianini is such a silly mistake on that first lap. And they're really knocking on the door. It's super exciting. We've got Martin back now up to speed, finishing fourth. I mean, he's going to be almost back to fully fit, Barcelona in a couple of weeks. Super exciting for Aprilia coming through. Bezecchi has that early race pace and then sort of does drop off slightly. But, yeah, it's going to be a super exciting, you know, second half of the year. Obviously, the championship's wrapped up. We all know this. It's going to happen. Looks like looking likely it might happen as early as Misano, but more likely Motegi.
Mm.
But for me, it's yeah, it's going to be that mid-pack battle that's super exciting.
Yeah, it is. Anyone can get seconds. Like, if it wasn't, take Marquez out of it, but like anyone at the moment can get second place. And the KTMs are looking strong. And with Pedro Acosta, you got to, like, people forget the dude's only like 20 years old. Mm. And he's only a season and a half into his MotoGP career. And everyone's either writing him off or saying, you know, should be doing more, but he's only a season and a half into his career. KTM's gone through all these financial struggles, and now it looks like KTM's found something. I think they've got a whole new aero package, which is just everything for them at the moment. So, you know, he's being a lot more consistent. It will be interesting going to, I think it's Barcelona next, yeah, and an established track. Like, it's not like Bruno, obviously, or Bellaton Park.
We've had a few. The last few rounds have been unusual tracks. Yeah. I mean, even Austria with a new chicane, it's kind of new in their eyes. And then you have Bellaton Park, which is we've never seen before. And then a lot of rain. We've had rain in the previous few Grand Prix from there. So we haven't really had just a normal stock standard weekend for a long time. And when these random things happen, or rain, or unusual tracks, or slippery conditions, Marquez comes out on top.
Yeah,
you know, it shows time and time again. Seven. How many? Seven double wins.
Yeah, in a row. Seven double wins in a row.
Unbelievable.
So, talk about stock standard tracks. We're going to Barcelona. Stock standard. Right? It's the same weather every time.
It is.
Like, it was just different because of last year, and it was at the end of the year. But it's going to be stock standard. So, seeing seeing the likes for me, which is going to be interesting, is Alex Marquez. And like, the question I have for you is, is there cracks appearing with Alex Marquez? Because he's had quite a few shockers now. He's been crashing. He's obviously had penalties. I get that. He took out Juan Mir, but there's definitely cracks appearing. And then going into Barcelona, this is kind of the barometer to see where he's actually at this point in the season.
Yeah, it just seems to all happen for Marquez's favor, doesn't it? Anyone who's just about to get up to him just falls away. And it's happened time to time again. And you know, firstly happened with Bagnaia from the start of the year. He's just gone to another world, unfortunately. And then Alex was the big competitor, but he's just had, you know, as you said, he's had penalties galore. He's been crashing. You know, it was bound to happen. I think we both said that. I mean, you can't... I remember I said this. I said, you can't just... You've gone from this to this, and then you can't just consistently do it every week. It's so hard to do it.
Unless you're Mark Marquez.
Correct.
Yeah.
So, correct. So, cracks definitely started to appear. He can come back. He can fight for the podium. But, I mean, the likes of Acosta up to speed on this KTM. You got Bezzecchi now, as I just touched on, and Martin. And it's going to be super, super tough for him.
What are three form riders for me at the moment? Goes Marc Marquez, obviously, Marco Bezzecchi second, and Pedro Acosta.
And they were fighting for the lead last night in the race. I mean, they had three different manufacturers fighting for the lead. It was good to see. And then,
really good to see, actually.
And I mean, as I said, that's the exciting part for me. But I know there's a lot of people at home, including our listeners, are going, fuck, you know, fucking Marquez again, you know, like, where's it going to stop? But I don't think it is.
It's not going to stop anytime soon. You're going back to Barcelona as well. I think he's just, I don't know. What else can you say? Like, the dude's just a freak, 7 out of 7. And like, just doing just all doubles or triples with pole positions as well. Obviously, not all of them are pole positions. But, you know, like, what's so impressive is he's behind, who was it? Like, Morbidelli and Bezzecchi for the start of the main race. Gets past Morbidelli, then just fires straight up to Bezzecchi, passes Bez, and then gaps him by 0.7 in a lap.
Yeah, it was a kind of a stupid move from him at the start.
Yeah, well, he went up the arse of him.
And, it was just like vintage, like Marquez silly brain fade.
It was like just rearing his head.
Yeah, like 2020 Marquez Jerez sort of situation. and then calmed down like he has and just done the job. But yeah, it's just a flick of the switch. And you know, it's like Jaws, you know, the Jaws music was coming. And he passes and passes with authority.
Yeah.
Clean. And then just goes. Like, and you've seen it with the champions of the past. I mean, just happens time and time again.
Yeah, like Bez obviously tries to put up a fight, but it just, and he did for a couple laps, but once he gets past and it's clean, see you later. But it's funny, Bez was talking about Marc Marquez after the race, and he said as soon as he saw like plus eight or whatever mark, he's like, my stomach sunk. Like, he's like, I already knew. And that's that effect we talk about, yeah. That like, you know, that mentality, the you know, how they almost worry them out of it to a degree. And then, you know, just, and then, you know, it's one or two laps and then Mark's on his tail and bang, he's passed. Mm. And then he's a second and a half up the road.
Yeah. I mean, it was smart from him. He didn't fight it too hard because he had
a soft rear on.
He had soft rear. I mean, again, Marquez makes the medium work. And then and then Acosta passed him, but he held on. He held on for dear life, which is a good thing. Because at a time of older, another rider would put in such a big effort to hold Marquez behind. You know, the inevitable is going to come eventually anyway.
For sure.
And like as a punter at home, yeah, you want him to put up a fight, but for the championship and for him personally, you know, it's so important for Aprilia to get these podiums. And you can see how excited they were for third.
Yeah.
I mean, dropping the champagne 2 weeks in a row, and you know, it's huge for the factory. And then for Martin to finish fourth, I mean, it's been a great weekend for them.
Yeah, no, definitely. Aprilia's had a really good few weeks now that Jorge Martin's finding his feet. It's going to be interesting to see how, you know, like, I didn't expect him to kind of be this fast so quickly. And now to get a fourth, and like a legit fourth, is very interesting for the next, you know, next half of the year. T-Shabs, mate, we all know that you're a Mr.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Aprilia, you love riding? I want to know, where do you get your motorcycle gear from?
Mate, there is only one place I get all my gear from, apart from the guy down the street, and that's Moto Heaven in Moorabbin, okay? They are a family-owned business, which we love. They always have the best prices. Yep. And if I want to get something shipped to my house, it's free delivery over $150. So for me, it's really a no-brainer.
Right, so you get all the best gear. And then is it better than going to the dumb big corporate chains?
They don't care about you.
No.
You know, you can't call the owner of them to ask questions.
No.
Adrian's always on my phone list, and I can always call him to
He's always calling you.
He is, definitely.
Yeah, no, I love it. So head to motorheaven.com.au where you never pay full price. They got all the big brands, super fast dispatch, ship anywhere around Australia. You can get whatever you want.
It's a no-brainer.
No-brainer. Is it a matter of when and not if Martin wins a race or gets a podium this year? Probably more likely.
Yeah, podium. Podium really likely. I think in the next couple of rounds. I feel like he's just got to qualify on that new tyre. I mean, he's come from 15th last night to finish fourth, which is pretty unheard of in modern day MotoGP. Yeah. So if he can get his qualifying right on the new tyre, yeah, I think...
Yeah, you're right. It's qualifying for him, isn't it? Which is normally his forte.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that early... He had great early race pace. I mean, getting through the pack. And so there's not an issue there on a new tyre like some of the others. But yeah, you just got to get into Q2, nail the lap like he can. And he's right up there. But James, like, he's just got to be... It's got to be lacking like just that little bit of self-confidence and... You know, to do that extra 10th or two you have to do in qualifying, you have to take that massive risk.
Yeah.
And that's where his head has to be getting in the way. Yeah. You saw him in tears after the race. Like, he has gone through hell and back, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Good point.
And that's that extra... We talk about in Formula 1, like Hamilton, like he's lost that extra 10th or two because you might not be doing it, going into that corner as hard as he could or used to be able to. You know, they talk about if you have kids and a wife at home, you're never as fast, you know? He's got that gorgeous buddy wag with him all the time now. She's hanging on to him. But for me, it's he'll get there.
He'll definitely get there. Like, these guys are obviously a different
autistic
breed
as well, remember?
Yeah, or you got apparently you got a bit on that tonight.
I actually haven't got notes on it. Oh, what are you looking at, Kenny? Kenny picked up.
But it is good to see. But to find that, like what they say, like for qualifying and the putting in those heaters, like you are on the edge of just kind of sending yourself to the moon.
What happened with Aprilia in practice? Two blown engines in the matter of minutes.
Bro, I know. With it was Jorge Martin, I think. It was
Martin and Raul Fernandez. Fernandez. I mean, that's very unusual. And looking at history, and they're obviously pushing the boundaries, aren't they, with this engine? And obviously, they've turned the wick up on both of them to see how they're going to react. Strange circuit to do it on, because not very high top speed. But they didn't seem fast. Like, it panned to the team, and I think Martin stood his bike up in the gravel trap and walked away, and they were having a laugh about it. So if it was massive concern, I think it would have been,
I think it was just about when they both clicked in the fourth gear.
Yeah.
But, they put miles on these engines, so.
Yeah, I mean, it's just amazing that it happened. It's got to be something to do with setup, because it can't happen that nearly exactly the same time on the same weekend.
That's weird. The closest one I can think of was Mugello. Oh, fuck, I don't know what year. 2014 or 15 or 16 or one of those ones where Lorenzo or Rossi were having that battle and Rossi's engine blew and Mugello. Cruel.
Yeah.
But that same weekend, Lorenzo's engine blew.
Yeah.
Like a day on the Friday practice or the Saturday morning. So, they kind of knew. Like, that's the closest I can think of it. But two within
2 minutes.
Yeah, is wild.
And then what was very interesting is that they were almost two different blowouts, because you had Raul Fernandez one blowing out oil and flames, where it was pretty much just smoke for Martin. But who knows? It was a question they'll probably never have answered, I think.
Yeah, I don't know how much they're going to tell us. GP26.
Yep.
Pecco Bagnaia, what's going on? He comes out and says he's happy after Sunday.
Yeah, that was wild to me. So Simon Patterson broke that news. He's sitting in the media saying, "No, I had a great race. It was, a lot of positives and took a lot out of it." And I'm thinking, geez, you finished ninth behind Paul Espargaro. Just a shallow of a rider he was last year, even the year before. I mean, definitely the year before and even last year. So I don't know where we go from here. Mm. He's miles off, isn't he?
Mm.
Are we getting to a spot where this GP25 is so hard to ride that only the certain person can tame it? Is that where we're at? Is it the Red Bull of the F1 at the moment? Like, what is it?
It's a Repsol Honda already. It's only been like 11, 12, 13 races.
But what does he do? I think Marquez has got a secret potion or something that he comes into teams and just no one else can win on the bike.
Mentally obliterates them.
But it's not even a joke. Like, it's crazy that this guy can be fighting championships 3 years in a row, win two of them, and then be, ninth and tenth on the consistently every weekend.
Yeah.
And
then, like, not even near the top 10 in the sprint race.
I know, running wide and going short, going along the shortcut. I mean, it's just Bagnaia, for me, in that, 22 to 24, he was just never made mistakes.
Like, unflappable.
Unflappable. Like, yes, he made some, in 24, he made some mistakes in the sprint races and things like that. But when you watched him as a rider, you go, he's not crashing.
No.
He's not running wide. He's not locking the brakes. Like, I watch Pedro Acosta and he's crashing every corner to me.
Mm.
He's crashing every single corner. But he doesn't, thankfully. But yeah, for me, it's just, he's just on a knife edge. He just can't race in packs. He's just so unconfident with the braking. I mean, you looked at Binder last week in Austria, passed him on the outside of that chicane. I mean, that was just amazing footage that you would never see that again.
Mm.
Pecco Bagnaia gets passed on the outside of a chicane.
Yeah.
And he's got the best bike in quotation marks on the grid. I mean, I don't know. Where do we go from here?
Well, I don't know, because it's interesting, because he said he came out and, he was actually ended up being pleased of the race result because he found some more feeling in the front.
Finished ninth.
I know. That's what's so wild about it. But the thing is he said this over like the past two or three Grand Prix in practice. He's like, I feel good. I found something. And then this doesn't translate to anything. So I don't know. It's still strange to me. It doesn't add up.
Yeah, well, the rumor in the paddock is that Bezzecchi's dating the sister, Bagnaia's sister.
What do you mean? Yeah, are we on Wag Watch?
That's breaking news for everyone at home. I think it's fucking with his head. I think it is.
Well, yeah, if your best mate's banging your sister, yeah, that's a bit rough.
I think it is. I think that could be onto something there.
Mm, Interesting.
Yes.
Wag Watch is...
Wag Watch is alive and well.
Yeah, I don't know. You've thrown me there.
If I have.
You've autistically thrown me.
That's from the horse's mouth. That is. That information. It's going to come out shortly and T-Shab's going to break it.
Well, you broke Grassini, so...
Yeah, I
Grassini,
did.
Mark Marquez.
Yeah. Another thing I took out of that race, it was one of the tracks that a lot of the different bikes took completely different lines. I mean, I looked at Ducati and Aprilia with Bezzecchi and Marquez. You know, Marquez really breaks and sort of turns into that corner early and then stands the bike up, where you really saw the Aprilia do more of that sort of...
Sweeper.
And it was a really interesting thing to me. I was watching it because they were just so different. Especially turn one and turn two. I just like, you had your space and they Constantined up. And then it was, it was one of those tracks that was really, it really showed. And I thought that was fascinating.
Curtis, what do you got, mate?
Curtis? Okay. Oh.
Go on.
I was noticing with Marquez behind Bezzecchi, he was changing up his lines to get a better exit speed than Bez, especially he was turning late at the apex. So he'd get, normally it'd be like, instead of just a regular curve through the corner, it'd be more of a shape of a V. So he'd go in, dive in deep, and then turn late. So when he's coming back out of it, he's right on Bez's ass, which Bez was not accounting for when he got behind Marquez.
Yeah.
You'd especially notice that in the more tighter corners, Bez was keeping his lines, but Marquez is already out of the corner and gone.
Yeah, I noticed that. Thanks, Key. I noticed that a lot after he passed Bez, like two corners later, he really went like really late into the corner, really V'd up, as Curtis just said, and then got a slingshot out of the corner and it was just gone.
And the Ducati just puts down the power so well, you know, so it just uses all of it to its best of his abilities. So if you look at the GP26 for next year, which three riders, Ducati riders, are you putting on that motorcycle as of right now?
Well, I think Marquez, obviously.
Nah, you wouldn't put him on.
Alex. Geez, it's funny. And we have such short memories in this sport. Where,
I know, it's terrible.
You know, 3 weeks ago, Alex Marquez was championship contender, and now he's... Does he deserve a 26?
It's so ridiculous.
I don't know. They're saying that the 26 is going to be a reincarnation of the 24.
I heard that, yeah.
So because there's engine freezes going on, they've almost said they've failed on the 25. They're going to have a bright, sparkly, brand new 24 bike. So, yeah, I think you got to give it to Bags and Marquez, and then you probably have to give it to Alex, and I think Mark might have had some push around there, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I agree. I'd almost put Furman on over Alex, though, just because he's doing an amazing job for a first year. Mold him to that bike.
Yeah, the other word on the street, it looks like Morbidelli signed for VR, so that's...
A La Familia, bro. What are you going to do? You can't even complain about that. Yeah, they'll come after you.
This is what I don't understand. What bike's the 25 going to be? This is what's so confusing. So the 25's not working. Arguably for the majority of them.
Well, it's funny. So just, I want to go back to what you said before. You said Ducati almost said it's a failure, but how's it a failure if it's won the last seven doubles?
I know.
You know what I mean? Makes sense. But in Ducati's philosophy, what's made Ducati the best bike is it's rideable for everyone. And the GP24 is that. But the GP25 is definitely not that.
They're not going to call it the GP25. They're going to call it the GP Marquez. Speciale Edition-o.
And they'll sell the Panigale version of a fat Spanish Catalan flag on the side of it.
Yeah, it's... but man, like Aldeguer, what could have been for Aldeguer? I mean, he was doing 137.7s or something at the end of the race, and he was like 14th, you know? In your head, you're finishing 14th, you're finishing with 2 points, but you're putting in fast laps.
I know.
That shows to me that like he had amazing pace.
Amazing pace.
He was doing that lap time without any motivation.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have got him anywhere, you know?
I know. And it's on old tires.
Yeah.
So like that's what's so crazy. But like that's just what's an interesting take is they say it's almost a failure, but how can a bike be a failure when it's won the last seven in a row?
Yeah.
No, doubles.
You're 100% right.
So like it's kind of...
Yeah, clip that.
But it, and I know we talk about it a lot, but how can just one rider make it work so well?
It's the same as Honda with Repsol. It's amazing. It's the same as Ducati with Stoner in 07.
I know, but okay. The Repsol Honda was, Stoner's and probably a bit more like it, but the Repsol Honda was, I guess you could say, 5 years built around Mark, at least. And then it turned into some monstrosity of a motorcycle that only he could ride.
Yeah.
But the Ducati is just, that GP25 is built by Bagnaia. Yeah, because Marquez was riding a GP23.
No. Marquez had that test in, you know, Valencia in the last year. He changed it all. Bagnaia's going to accuse him soon. Don't worry.
He had like the analytics and the dialogue of the new bike and he just fucking lit it up on fire and said, nah, this is how you build
this
it.
This is what I don't understand. Why can't Bagnaia say to GG, go, just put a fucking 24 bike in the locker. Put a 24 bike.
I think it's pride. I don't know. I don't know how it works. There must be an allocation.
Has to
be. There'll be something like that.
It just, but surely the, it just, because sounds me.
They've tried to squash that rumor at the start of the year.
Mm. It just doesn't, yeah.
And they don't want to be seen to go backwards, but I don't know. It's a weird conversation to have because on one side of it, you've got one of the most dominant seasons ever.
Yeah, I know.
That like literally he can't lose to then, you know, a multiple time world champion that's celebrating coming ninth or eighth or whatever it is. And they're saying the bike's a failure. Like, so it doesn't make any sense. Like, none of this makes any sense to me.
No,
but is it? Is it? Is the bike a failure?
But we've never seen anything like this in MotoGP.
For Ducati's philosophy, that bike is a failure.
I don't know.
But, like, that must be, like, Marquez. This must be just fucking grinning.
Oh, I am.
But what do you think if you're Mark Marquez right now and everyone's kind of written you off and you're now just dominating since Aragon and it's 7 out of 7, 7 doubles. Like, you're the man again. He must be just thinking, like this is what all the hard work's paid off for.
Yeah, and we've said this multiple times. It's going to be the best sporting story in MotoGP history almost, so... To come back to where he was and still have... And they're saying he's still got problems now. Like, it's not fully healed. His shoulder and his arm and everything, it's still...
Looks pretty healed.
It's still...
His lap time, say it.
Oh, yeah. It's still giving him grief. I mean, he said that. So, you know, I'm going to call him 100% fully fit. But, you know, it's like... It's almost like poor Alex Rins is hobbling around the paddock and everyone feels sorry for him, but...
He just has that. The dude just has that aura about him right now. Like, he was... I remember, like, even when he was just in the cool-down room with Marco and...
Pro Savings Days are back at Lowe's. My Lowe's Pro Rewards members save even more with limited-time doorbuster deals. Save $5 on 24-count Contractor's Choice 42-gallon trash bags, now just $14.78. Plus, get your choice select DeWalt Elite Series saw blades for $9.98. Not a Pro Rewards member? Join for free today at Lowe's. Valid through 9/17. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Pedro Costa, he just looked like their dad. Like he just owns that whole paddock.
Mm. Oh, he's going to be. The thing is for Marquez, he was huge in the late, you know, 2018, massive, you know. But the majority of all the Rossi fans and a lot of the supporters just still loved Rossi. And Marquez was amazing and fantastic, but he would have tripled or quadrupled his followership in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm on board.
Yeah.
No, a lot of other people are on board. Like, to be a fan of Marquez down at Phillip Island, even in those years, you were seen as like, oh, you're a fan of Marquez. You know, like, it was very rare. It wasn't rare, but it was much more rarer than seeing a Rossi top. Even when Rossi retired and then you were wearing a Repsol Honda top, it seemed different. So, for him to come back and to dominate like he is and, yeah, I mean,
his stocks have gone up.
One of the most amazing sporting stories ever. So,
yeah. Now, just imagine Mark winning his ninth world title, equaling Valentino Rossi in his backyard in Misano. Now, that's a story.
Yeah, I'd love to know what he has to do at Barcelona for that to happen.
Well, he kind of basically said it's impossible, even though mathematically it is. And then Alex Marquez basically has to DNF both races, which he says he obviously does not want to happen for his brother. But it would be like just the ultimate like cherry on top for him. And it just would make a funny, it would just be funny, like a funny story on equaling Valentino in
the summer. Oh, it'd be like, they're gonna make a documentary about him one day and that will be the final scene.
Yeah.
You know, in Rossi's backyard. I mean, that's just, you know, what's Rossi's ranch is like, what,
20 kilometers from there, yeah, or something.
Yeah, just about pee on it from Asana.
He's, you know, he's, it's like a church there. So named after Simoncelli, the track. I mean, there's just so many different alleyways that connect that, isn't it?
The
so.
Irony in it all.
Oh, yeah.
If it happens, which, look, it doesn't seem like it's that feasible, but it's just funny to think about, like, yeah, how it all comes about.
Yeah.
On an Italian motorcycle.
Yeah, I know. They're all probably like, oh, yeah, nah, well done. You know,
it's gonna... Damo Garipoli.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he's on Stoner's back now. Loves him. He's got his bloody Ducati figurine at home and everything you've got. So, unbelievable.
Going back to Nia Bastianini's crash, that was one of the scariest things I've seen.
Yeah, I sort of reflected on it later. It looked really bad live. It really did. I'm glad it was. He was still in vision of the riders, which is probably a good thing. I mean, you go through a corner, everyone who was in behind him would have seen him go through it, but you can still get so unlucky in that situation.
That's how riders die. But
James, that's
exactly how they die.
How is that safer than having a 20-meter gravel track with an air fence?
I know. It's not safer.
It doesn't make sense to me.
It's not safer because... And it's not even like there's gravel there. He just clips some of the gravel, but he just slid straight on through the concrete or the asphalt or whatever it is.
Because turns 12, 13, and 15, so it's leading onto the back straight. Now, I said at the start of the pod, if you had one section in that track, all you need is one good section and it's a good track. So for me, it's a big, flowing left-hand corner. And if you take that chicane out, it would be an amazing passing opportunity into that last little section.
Mm.
And what happens is that you get through the gears and you go through the chicane and then you got to lose all the momentum and then the passes become even harder. I'm looking at the aerial shot. I'm on Google Maps right now and I'm looking at the runoff area that they have. Huge. Full air fence along the whole way. Like, I just don't understand why they can't open that section up.
I don't know. I hate... The chicanes are actually fine, but... You don't need six of them on a racetrack.
And how tight that first turn is. I mean, that's got to be one of the tightest first turns on the calendar.
Or how's Quartararo just launching everyone in? Cannonballing himself.
That's a full hairpin in that first corner. You don't realize that, like, on board, it doesn't look as bad, but it full turns in on itself. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. I just don't know about this track, if they've actually thought about MotoGP races when they've built this track. Have they actually, you know... Have they gone and done the research and has MotoGP as Dorna as a whole, have they had any input? Because for me, that's going to be their main attraction. They're going to race F1 cars.
No.
So it's going to, MotoGP will be their biggest event and they just seem like they've, don't know.
They can make that track work. They just got to fix a few things, as you said.
Yeah.
Basically.
But
like just that, any of us in anyone was just strange, man. You can't have that happen. Like that's scary. And everyone's just lucky he threaded the needle. And everyone got out of the way.
Yeah, well, it really affected Mir, didn't it? I think he had to run wide off to the sand trap and sort of mucked up his race. But he sort of went down, right down to the back of the pack.
Crashed anyway.
Yeah. He met his favorite little gravel trap, didn't he?
Well, talking about Honda, though, Marini, what did he get? Fifth.
He did. Amazing. And Marini hasn't been the one in form.
Yeah.
And the last two rounds, he's been top six, hasn't he?
And Honda's actually been quick. Mir was top five, I think, top six last weekend as well. And they're being... consistently fast through practice and qualifying. They both made it in the Q2.
Yes, and it's funny. It's sort of flipped on its head and Zarco's sort of lacking a little bit of pace up the grid. So they've done something.
Good signs.
They're really good signs. I think they had, a couple of upgrades as well, which has been working. I'm not sure.
Yeah, they have.
Possibly Zarco hasn't got those upgrades.
I think they've had an engine, a chassis, and an aero upgrade. It's almost like a new bike again. So they're having a proper crack a lot more than what Yamaha's doing, which is just... upgrading and still going backwards.
Yeah.
But it's good to see Honda's actually, got some pace and found their feet, I guess, in the past few rounds. But then, you know, again, Barcelona's a barometer again.
Yeah.
It's a track everyone knows. They've all ridden there a million times. That's going to be, the barometer for where we see everyone, where they're at.
Yeah. Yep.
Jack Miller.
Yes. So is he staying? I think he is, isn't he? Which is, I don't think, surprising. I think it's important for them to have him there with the new rules coming in 27. From all reports, he's great with feedback and building bikes up. And he's had so much different experience on different manufacturers. So I think it's a good move. I think it's a good move.
Is it going to be a 2-year deal or 1-year deal though?
I think he's always been on a 1-year deal, hasn't he?
So he'll have been next year, last year the Michelin. It'll be interesting to see what they do.
Yeah, I think for me with, I mean, you're going to have Toprak there.
Yeah, good. It's an interesting team.
You could put Moreira or you could put a Gonzalez in that team, but I think they need some experience. They really do coming into the new. You got to go into a new rules. You might as well have your Moto 2 star do one more year in the class and then come through. So who that's going to be? It's going to be a surprise. I think Moreira's looking like he's going to Honda.
I think Moreira is just all but done on an LCR Honda.
So that means there's no more token Japanese
Asian right.
Asian yeah. Itamitsu.
Yeah.
Is that what we're saying?
Yeah.
And is that what we've been saying for the last 3 years?
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah. This is a 10-point plan. This is literally just listening to our 10-point plan.
And we talked about this, and we've been talking about this the last couple of weeks. MotoGP investment-wise, we had the money man on last week. MotoGP investment, you have to invest now.
Yeah.
Liberty Media coming through. The sport's going to boom. We all know this. So to invest now and not to have a wasted spot there, I think is very important.
For sure. You can't have a wasted spot. Especially in the next 5 years, you definitely can't have a wasted spot.
LCR with Zarco and Moreira. How exciting that's going
to
be.
Yeah, and it's good to have an old dog and that new young gun.
And then Moreira, like, he is going to be a star in Moto. He's built for MotoGP, this guy.
Yeah. He is. And he talks shit, like, with Aaron Canet. Like, he rubs people up the wrong way. I like that.
Yeah, good, 100%. But we need some of that.
And different nationalities, which is good. Brazilian's always good. But we've got a Brazilian and Moreira. We've got a Colombian and David Alonso. And we've got Valentin Peroni, the most Italian-Argentinian ever.
I know.
So it's South America's coming through. They're not just good at cycling and soccer.
Well, who are we talking to? And someone said that they want MotoGP, want Moreira in MotoGP because of the fact we've got the Brazilian round.
Yeah, bro, 100%.
So it actually is still a token.
Yeah, everyone's... And then they only want an Aussie in there as well. Legit for that.
It still is a token. It's hilarious. Now, that's exciting. I think exciting for MotoGP because Chantra's just been an absolute failure of all failures. And the whole team's been a failure for the past 5 to 10 years.
Bro, Nakagami was never that bad. Nakagami could still get points.
Yeah.
He could still help kind of.
We gave Nakagami shit and he was finishing top 10.
Yeah, or 12th.
And Chantra's 12 seconds behind second last.
Yeah, I know. He's fucked.
So
unfortunately, he's nowhere and it just didn't work. I got a crystal ball.
Okay.
My crystal ball that Manu Gonzalez is going to sign for Factory Yamaha and Alex Rins is going to get bunted.
For next year?
Yeah.
Put him on the factory bike. Yeah. I mean, I personally... would love to see that. Would love. What's his affiliation though with Yamaha? Is there?
There's no like affiliation.
Okay.
Yeah, but they can sign.
Who races for Pramac in Moto 2?
Guevara and
Huertas.
He's an Italian trainer.
Oh, Tony Arbolino.
Tony Arbolino, yeah. That's the one. And yours one of the Italians.
Yeah. Okay. And they're both not in form. Guevara is
he's charging.
He's charging, but he's not MotoGP yet.
No, no, no.
Oh, amazing.
That's like it comes off no basis whatsoever, but that's my crystal ball.
Because Rins is just, they're not talking about him at all, are they?
Right. Well, they kind of backed him a few weeks ago, but like a week backed him. I don't know. Like, yeah. But if you're Manu Gonzalez, do you want to take that ride for next year? Like the Yamaha's fucked.
V4.
Yeah, but V4 ain't going to fix all your problems either.
That's, I think, and going back to my point about Jack, having that new engine coming next year as well, I think is another important thing because, I mean, obviously then they're going to be going to that 850 V4, which is another engine again. You need a rider that's going to be, you know, can communicate the issues or the positives with the bike. That's going to be a sound thing. So I think for him... Quartararo doesn't seem like the guy who can develop a bike. And I think they were mentioning that on the telecast where he was asked about this new stability system from last week. And he goes, it doesn't feel any different or it hasn't really made any change, where some riders can be like, I felt this, I felt this, I felt this, I felt this, where he had no idea. He just gets on the bike and rides. And some people are going to be like that. You know, he's still 100%. A world-class rider, world champion. So, I think, Moto2 riders... you know, it's going to be complicated enough to go into a MotoGP bike, and then you've got new rules coming as well. So, yeah. We'll see.
I think Moreira on that Honda is so exciting, though.
Yeah. Great get for them. Great get for Honda.
Yeah, good get for MotoGP. It's exactly what it needs, you know. And like LCR is a great team to be a part of. Like Casey Stoner rode for them. Kel Crutchlow won races with them. Like
great team.
Yeah, great team to be a part of. Like Zarco's won races with them. Like they're a team that's been there for a long time. They're a team that's, you know, really embedded in the paddock. And like, you know, again, no disrespect to the Asian riders, Chantra, like. They're too good of a team to have a non-performing rider.
Yeah, there's no... MotoGP doesn't have any room for, like...
Tokens.
Yeah. No, not anymore. We haven't got CRT bikes hanging on for dear life. There's manufacturers that want to be in... Riders that all want to be on that grid. So there's no time and room for that anymore.
And you know what? You've got a better... Look at Zarco. You've got chances now of actually getting podiums. Like, podiums are all in reach.
Yeah.
Maybe
well,
not.
He won a race and then he podiumed the next week on a...
That's better than, you know, that's where your sponsors are seen.
Yeah.
They're not seen when they're last every race. But they do get talked about because we keep talking about him. How many times have we mentioned Inamitsu? Fucking
more than Japan.
More than Lenovo Ducati. When have we said Lenovo?
No, what?
Isn't that funny how it works?
Yeah, it is.
But then you're there, it's all right. You went to Japan, you couldn't even find it anywhere.
No, I know. There was no Inamitsu anywhere.
Inamitsu, so. What?
That's what they said. But interesting to see who's going to be the sponsor of that bike as well.
Yeah, like they're going to keep that. Like have they got
are they got a Brazilian sponsor coming on? Who knows?
What's a Brazilian brand? Oh, tell me that.
Havana thongs.
Yeah, are they actually Brazilian?
Don't know. They've got the Brazilian flag on some of them.
Curdy,
that's a hard one, bro.
Curdy, are you able to look up top Brazilian brands? We're going to find out the new sponsor. It'll be like a Brazilian bank or something random.
Yeah.
That's what they'll do.
And check while you're there, check Havana. Are they Havana?
Well,
Havana thongs. Just check where they're from. Probably a state.
Bro, imagine starting this podcast and then skipping just to this point and that's the question. Like they'll go, what the fuck?
Who's Curtis?
But yeah, that's kind of all I got. The other scary thing was Acosta's big crash that hit the cameraman. Did you see that?
Yeah, it was. It was cool at the end of the race, and Acosta was waving to him and doing the love hearts and La Familia.
He's good. He's got a lot of personality. He's gonna be good for the sport, Pedro Acosta. I think everyone's been too harsh on him the past year and a half.
Yeah, I mean, it's been so hard as a young person being in that team where it's almost folding, you know. I mean, that'd be so hard. You know, your future's uncertain. You're meeting with Ducati and all sorts of things.
And I respect that, though.
Yeah,
I don't know why Ducati didn't just jump the gun to sign him, which is crazy. Go on, Curdy. What do you got? What are you laughing at? We can hear you.
Okay.
What brands? Top Brazilian brands.
Top Brazilian. Yeah. Well, here's the thing about brands.
Go on.
It can be many things, but the first one, Petrobras. Petrobras.
What's Petrobras? That's a bank. Okay. Oh, the boom. Bank. See, there we go.
Banco de Brasil.
Okay.
Bank. Third, Bradesco. Nice. Financial service company.
Nice. Fourth, these are all fronts, by the way.
Yeah. Itaú Unibanca.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
That's German.
Bank. Santander, Brazil.
Santander.
Brazil. It's a bank. Havinas.
Hey!
There it is.
Thongs.
So that, there you go.
Havanas.
Thongs.
Thongs!
There you go. The next one after that,
Vale. What's in the top 10? They make thongs.
Vale is next.
Oh, Vale, like the motorcycle.
No, just Vale.
Oh, Vale.
Mining. So there's probably something going on there. There's a front there. Let's have a see. What is this?
Go on. What's the last one?
Ambev. Publicly held corporation incorporated under the laws of the Federative Republic of Brazil. What the hell is this thing?
Now we've lost
it's a
now.
Beverage company. That makes sense. Money, thongs, and alcohol.
Financial Service Republica. Thank you, Curdy.
Well, I actually stand by my statement. The only real brand in there is the thongs.
Yeah, you're right.
So, and maybe the beverage company. Maybe the beverage company.
I just knew there was going to be like five banks in there.
I thought it was going to say like a porn organization or something.
Oh, that's what I thought.
Yeah. I think it had something juicy for us. Oh, he's back.
I'm surprised I didn't see tourism there.
Well, tourism, the word tourism can't sponsor a motorcycle. Maybe Brazil tourism.
Oh, I'm sure someone could be there. They could probably just chuck an image of a Brazilian on there. They could put, know exactly
they
what
could
I mean.
Put Christ, what's it called? Christ.
De Republica.
Christ De Republica on the side of Diego Moreira's bike, and it's just our faces on Christ. Your face on one side, my face on the other, and Curdy's on the front. It's a fucking great idea.
It is.
See, Shavs, I'm rolling around in a bit of a stinky car at the moment. How can you help me?
Doesn't surprise me, mate. James, I have the product for you, my friend. We have Motorsport Republica air fresheners. All your favorite drivers and riders.
Phil Marquez, Rossi, Lando Norris, Oscar Piastri.
All the famous ones we have. We've also got t-shirts in stock. So if you want to go run your Motorsport Republica t-shirt, James, you're more than welcome to.
Can I sink beers in it?
You can do anything you want with it.
Ah, yeah, I like that.
So jump on to motorsportrepublica.com.au. And guys, it supports us. It supports the pod. And we really appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Let's jump on to Moto 2.
Results, big dog.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Falling apart over here. David Alonso, bro. How fucking good is he? He's coming. The man is coming.
Yeah.
Baby goat.
It was incredible to see. So
one of the best Moto2 races that I've watched, and just one of the best rides, obviously, by David Alonso, and he's already got a lot in his career. How are we going over there, mate? I can't talk to myself forever. Well, I can, but still. Gone.
All right. So first, we've got David Alonso, as mentioned. Second, Diego Moreira. Third, Manny Gonzalez.
Good. What a good podium. It's a class podium.
Jake Dixon, fourth. Colin Vaya, fifth.
Colin Vaya, shout out again, bro. He's coming.
He's doing really well. Aaron Canet, sixth. Huertas, seventh.
Again, great ride, free sport rider.
Yep. Philip Selleck, eighth. Danny Holgado, ninth, which is a great result for him. And Ivan Ortola, 10th. I mean, what else do you say about the big baby goat? I mean, he was 12th on the first lap, James.
I know, which is for Moto2. Like, that's... Your best again, sixth, mate.
What was so interesting for me, I'm watching this on replay and I already know the result. And I'm thinking, how the hell is he one from here? We've got 10 laps left. He's six, about, I think, 8 seconds behind the leader. I mean, it just doesn't happen.
I know. It doesn't happen. And like, how to not chew your tires and do Alonso Lopez?
That's the thing about him. This kid is like 19 years old. It's hardly any experience. And he just... It still outperforms all these guys that have been on that bike for 2 or 3 years.
What helps is he's tiny as well, so it doesn't destroy your tires as much.
Yeah. But just to have the nounce to keep the tire together and then to, you know, just calculate it perfectly, didn't he? Like, he didn't push too hard.
I do want to say that I predicted David Alonso to win a race this year, and no one believed me. So I'll take that win. I just wanted to put it out there.
Yeah. No. Well done. Yeah, that's fair enough. I do remember that, and it was a good point. And for him to... It doesn't go unnoticed to debut and be a rookie in Moto2 and then win a race. It doesn't happen this day.
Doesn't happen a lot. You know, Pedro Acosta did it, and he also broke his femur and still won races. Alex Rins, I believe, won his second ever Moto2 race in Coda.
That's incredible. He loves that place.
Yeah, done the ever. But no, it doesn't happen very often. Obviously, Marquez was winning races and almost won the title in his first year before he almost went blind. But David Alonso is the baby goat for a reason.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was injured at the start of the year and obviously it took time. But now he's, you know, he's already had a few podiums. And then a commanding win like that is very ominous for the field for the rest of this year and for next year. Definitely next year.
Yeah, and you could tell that second half of the last lap, the nerves probably got the best of him.
He ran wide, but then
kept it on, and then, amazing. So, Huertas as well, shout out to him.
Yeah.
They finally went to a track where they all are new to, you know. I mean, you could argue that, you know, Bruno was the same, but for him to come and perform and be in the top five for a lot of that race, it does show there's definitely some raw talent there.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, he's going to be always behind on these bikes and these tracks where they've had so much more experience. So it's a really good confidence booster for him.
And it's hard when your teammate's Diego Moreira.
And to come from Moto, you know, to come from Super Sport, win the championship convincingly, and go, I want to be in that MotoGP paddock, which I love.
Love. And, you know, Manu Gonzalez did the same thing. Yeah. He came from the World Supersports 300. So, yeah. And look where he is now. But that took him a few years, man. Like, I remember talking to Manu in the back of the pits a few years ago when he was on that Yamaha Mastercamp VR46 bike. And then he went to another team and now he's here and, you know, leading the world title.
Well, Manu, and I think this goes back to consistency, doesn't it? I mean, that year he was finishing fifth. I mean, we've seen it years before. Charles Leclerc on
he's
the
our Sauber. Barometer for that. We've used that as an example every. I wish we had a count on every time we've used that as an example.
It'd be hundreds, I reckon. But yeah, it just shows. I mean, that's talent, isn't it? Consistency is talent.
Yeah. 100%. It's the only way you win world titles. You know? You've got to be consistent. You can't just win one race and then be 15th, 12th, 9th, 11th. You know, it just doesn't work like that. You can't be Jake Dixon.
Well, I know.
That's exactly what Jake Dixon does.
Well, I know. And then he's leading a Grand Prix and then the next week he's 17th. I mean, I just... And then in motorsport, that just doesn't really happen.
Yeah. Manu Gonzalez is always, just always quick, it seems to be, just about every round. He's not really having an off round. Otherwise, you know, I get it. He crashes or gets taken out.
Yeah.
A rock went through his radiator, which was really unfortunate. But another one, bro, Colin Vaya, he missed like the first seven races or something like that. So to be back and now, and you know, kind of be quick, quite quickly is really good signs. Really, really good signs.
He's been consistent as well, consistently in the top 10 most races. I mean... Yeah, he's definitely a talent for the future.
Definitely.
I mean, there's so many, isn't there? I mean, it's just countless.
Definitely think it's Celestino Vietti half the time on the timing screens, but it's good to see. And, you know, I think he's got a big future as well, Colin Vaya, especially going into next year. Could be him, David Alonso again, having a crack. So, you know, Aaron Canet's the interesting one out of all this because
he's signed. He's signed for...
Grassini. Oh, no, that was someone else, wasn't it?
He has signed for Marc VDS.
Oh, yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, it was Marc VDS. Sorry.
Yeah. And they announced Marc VDS signed and everyone's like, well, is it Moto2 or is it Superbikes? Or Supersport? So it was Moto2 though.
Yeah.
Clarify.
Yeah. So, but like, he's an interesting one. Like, you know, is he ever going to have a shot at MotoGP?
There's so many.
Like that guy almost needs to win a world title for him to even have a shot.
And we're talking about Sergio Garcia. He filled in and now he's signed and going to be a full-time rider in Moto2 next year with one of the other teams. So there you go.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. All right. So Moto 3, Maximo Quiles, another name for the future.
Another baby goat. Fucking hell.
No, I know. Crazy. Valentin Peroni, he looked stoked after the race, even though he finished second, but it was an amazing sort of, you know, 0.0018 over the line. I mean, crazy. David Munoz, Mr. Consistent third. Piqueras fourth. Rueda fifth. Adrian Fernandez, 6th. David Almansa, 7th. Joel Kelso, 8th. Great result for him. Still carrying that foot injury. Alvaro Carpe, 9th. And Roulston, top 10.
Yeah.
He's coming. He had a very nasty injury at the start of the year. Mm. Both the boys are injured. So for them to still finish top 10, I think, is pretty impressive.
Yep.
And hopefully they're right for that Australian round. I mean, that's the exciting one, isn't it?
Yeah, so. Exactly. But... Yeah, bro, Quiles is just heating up, man. He is heating up. I wish I could bet on him to win the title next year because he's just going to dominate it.
Yeah.
But, you know, and good on the Quiles. And you've put up a few posts over the weekend, the Marquez era. You know, you've got, like, David Alonso, Marc Marquez, Quiles. Like, it's just...
Yeah.
That little clan.
It's CF Moto and Marc Marquez. Yeah. It's just... That's the era at the moment, isn't it?
Well, the Aspar team only signs...
Aspar CF Moto, I should say. Yeah.
That Aspar team is like the Spanish team where they're only going to sign the goats that are going to come through or the best of the best, you know, like Holgado, David Alonso, Quiles, like just those three riders right there. It's just, you know, but they've got Dennis Foggia on it as well, but for experience, but man, like that team just does not want to lose.
Yeah, it's a funny signing, Dennis Foggia, for that team, isn't it?
Yeah, I know.
Because they are a young... It's just to bring talent up, isn't it? And you've signed the... It must be a... You know, go back to the La Familia, you know, have a soft spot or something. Soft spot. So, we met, what's his name, in the cafe at the airport, lovely fella.
Jorge Martinez.
Yeah, Jorge Martinez, lovely guy.
Yeah, in Thailand.
He's obviously got a passion for young talent, and they're just dominating in the lower classes at the moment, which is fantastic.
And they've been in it forever.
Do you know what happened to Furusato? Because all I saw him, he fell off by himself, and then he was screaming and yelling at the marshals for some random reason.
Un-Japanese-like, actually.
Very un-Japanese-like, because it shot the camera and he's going, his arms are flying everywhere and blah, 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 blah. And then I think Matt Burt's like, oh, there must have been some gravel on the track or something. And the marshals weren't waving the flags to tell him. But like, that's just unbelievable, isn't it? Furusato having a shocker set 2 weeks in a row.
Is Furusato the one that got done on the podium?
Yeah, it's correct.
Maybe he finally had PTSD.
No, that was Yamanaka. Oh. Same.
Bro, I don't know. They all fucking...
No, it was Yamanaka. Okay. It was Yamanaka.
Okay.
Come on, Yamanaka. What are you doing? What was it for Asado? I don't know. Jesus Christ. Oh, goodness.
Oh, that's funny. But getting back on track, it was Moto2 and Moto3 produced awesome racing for Balaton Park.
Yeah, I think the racing was great. I just...
Moto3, you know, you can put them on an oval, though, and it's always going to be good racing.
They are good on a go-kart track. I mean, it's just... What I hated about that track going back to MotoGP, you just can't... There's no unleashing the horsepower. It's just every time they got to...
Yeah, I know. It's a cock tease.
Yeah, it's just top gear and then braking again. Top gear, brake. Like, it's just not even top gear, but yeah.
You know
it's
how...
Hard to explain, but yeah.
You know how I'm super autistic?
Mm-hmm.
when you mentioned Sao Paulo at the start of the episode...
Yes.
I've been thinking about Sao Paulo the whole episode.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
How good would a Moto3 race be around there? Oh, isn't that the perfect Moto3 track?
Yeah, so they just need a bit more runoff on that last corner, don't they? And they'd be fine.
And maybe the first.
Yeah, maybe the first. Yeah.
But, like, it's big sweepers. It's still tight. Yeah. Like, obviously, Mugello and Filippone are the perfect tracks for it as well. But Sao Paulo, I would love to see a Moto3 race on there. Holy shit.
It is actually a really good motorcycle circuit, thinking about it.
They race there.
They do?
Yeah, Ant West used to race there on the... I could be wrong, but I swear I saw Ant West when he was racing the Brazilian series.
We have had this conversation before, and there was actually a death there about 2 years ago in the last corner.
Bro, I don't remember this conversation.
Yeah, it was like the Brazilian Superbikes or BSB.
BBWSB.
So ridiculous. Yeah, that final corner, that sweeping left-hander. But, like, I look at, you know, going back to turn 14, 15, 16, whatever it is, 12, 13, 14.
Which country?
Back to Balaton. That just could be an amazing that back straight could be so good. It could be like Hockenheim. You know, Hockenheim has that long sweeping left hander, and then it widens at the end of the straight for a passing opportunity. It's perfect. Because then if you're blocking the inside, then you're offline for the next corner. Oh, just take a chicane out and it'll be good.
I know.
So
anyway, are we going on hot takes?
We are, yes, we are. Tom Shavulak is doing him tonight, so get ready.
Yeah, this is good. We might stop him each weekend, each Monday night, we'll swap around.
Yeah. Okay, this is from F315K1.
Did we have a shit ton coming through? I didn't even look.
Oh, it's getting ridiculous.
Out of control?
I love it, though. I fucking love it. Pecco isn't crashing, so he's not pushing. Is he afraid of crashing? Question mark.
Ooh. Is he afraid of crashing? I'm going to say, I think everyone's afraid of crashing, but I think... the last thing he wants is for a crash.
Yeah.
So then, yeah, he is.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. He's seems tentative. I think.
Yeah, tentative is a good
word. I think he's almost thinking, "Well, I'm doing this for nothing at the moment. I'm finishing eighth and seventh and eighth and ninth and things. Is it really worth me hurting myself?" So
he's just got no feeling on that front end, and you know he just can't push that at all.
Heavy D82_1.
Heavy D, what a name.
Which round is Martin going to finish in front of Bez?
Bro, I reckon what you said, Phillip Island.
Yep.
I think Phillip Island's going to be the one.
He's good in Phillip Island.
Yeah, I think. And I don't know if Bez is that great in Phillip Island, to be honest. I don't know if he's had the best results. I could be wrong.
Well, he had the all crashes of all crashes last year.
Yeah, so I'm going to say Phillip Island. I'm going to copy you there.
And
it always throws up weird, wacky results.
Bryce Mullane won. Is Balaton Park the worst track on the calendar?
Yes. Yeah, I think it is.
I think it takes Valencia's mantelpiece.
You know, the thing... this is how I'm going to speak for both of us here. Mm. We are very set in our ways. But it takes a track between, let's say, 5 to 8 years for us to like gain its respect.
Well, it happened with Coda, yep. Silverstone.
Yeah.
Yeah, you are
on
right.
the calendar. Mm. You know, you almost need the memories there for then. What's Argentina?
Argentina. I like Argentina.
Yeah,
though.
So do I.
Because it has...
I hated it when it first came in.
Yeah, just long. I like... You need a long straight.
And you need sweepers. Yeah. Not just chicane after chicane.
And the last corner's cool.
But Valencia, I don't know. Valencia kind of has its charm, maybe because it's the last round, but it's still a boring go-kart track. But it, you know what? It's good. It's got that big, long left-hander.
Yeah.
That closes in on itself, which
yep.
is great.
Yeah.
And there's always still pretty much a lot of passing there, but...
What's hard about the rounds like call Argentina is we never really see all that weekend because it's in the middle of the night.
It's 3 a.m.
So it's really hard for us to sit down and really enjoy that weekend. That's why the European tracks are like... have the best memories in my opinion, you know, because you're watching practice on a Friday night, you're watching qualifying live, you're watching everything where it's like you just, when the things are on delay, you're not watching them live. I think you just, you don't watch it as hard.
I think, 100%. It's like any sport. I think any man listening to this podcast will agree with that.
Yeah. Or woman.
Yeah. But men are like more particular about live sport. I'm telling you.
Good point. Willie underscore Nels, OG. Miller, 2022, 7 podiums, 1 win, was hounded for his seat. Pecco 2025, 7 podiums, 1 win, ?
Two world championships. that's your answer. Two world titles.
Yeah. And La Familia.
And he's
Italian. And you would know that, Willie. Willie was having problems with KO, unfortunately, on the weekend.
Was he?
Yeah, he was.
No internet service in Bendigo.
I said, country Vic, mate. I got to put up another tower or something.
You know what, though? Aussies are as close as a bloody Italian on a Ducati at the moment. You know, they're the only ones that can kind of make that bike work for a long
time. Who did they interview at KDM post-race to talk about Acosta? Because he was an Aussie guy.
I don't know. I didn't see that part.
Yeah. Sean Cody underscore. Use... Australian term.
Yeah.
Should make an episode purely based on MM93 versus VR46. It would get bang views. That's like taking candy from a baby, James, isn't it?
Yeah. I think we should do that.
We're doing it, but we're going to do it right. It could be something for the off season, I think. They're even on 9 world championships.
Yeah.
So we'll have a MM versus VR special.
Bro, I think
speciality.
People will freak out.
Yeah.
That's what we want.
That's what we want. We'll analyze everything. We'll analyze the kick. We'll analyze...
All the stats. You know, Rossi's favored Michelin tires that everyone doesn't want to think about.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Marquez's aggressive moves that no one likes.
Yeah.
We should also do like a bias episode. Like, you know, just talk about our favorite riders and our non-favorite riders.
Yeah, we should. Yeah, that might be for Patreon.
Yeah, that's like a Patreon one. Like when footy do a biased team one.
Derek Hall, would another team even want Pecco when he can't make the best bike on the grid work?
I think any team would still want Pecco.
Talent doesn't disappear overnight.
No.
We know this. And he's just confidence is dinted at the moment, but he's got it deep down somewhere there.
I think Pecco Bagnaia would be smashing it on like an Aprilia. A lot of riders would be though, like a Quartararo. I think that's the most rideable bike.
Does Bezek? Oh, so B0 Tond K4 Lighty.
Get Jesus a better username. Come on.
Does Bezeki have the potential to be a MotoGP world champion?
I reckon we had this hot take last week. Bezeki definitely has the potential to be a MotoGP world champion. And as I said last week, there's only one man standing in his way, and that's Marc Marquez. But he's got the talent, he's got the persona. I think he's got now the mental fortitude to become a MotoGP world champion. He's got the experience underneath him. And I think moving away from La Familia, away from Ducati, and I do a lot of Bezeki rants. But I think moving away from VR46 and having this Jorge Martin issue and him being away and then Bezeki being the leader of that team is the best thing that's ever happened for him.
Mm.
And now you can see all the fruits of his labor coming to fruition.
Yeah, he's an interesting one. Hates the media. He's made that really clear. Very nervous in the media as well. Doesn't like to say too much.
Doesn't matter. That's fine. Casey Stoner won 2 world titles and hated it.
Media. Does he have the talent to win a world championship? We'll wait and see. I don't know.
I think so. I definitely think so.
I don't know. I think
I think Marco Bezeki is closer to winning a world championship than Alex Marquez.
Fair call.
Yeah.
Mm. It's called Papa. As I said a few weeks ago, Aprilia and Bez will eventually catch up to 73 and 63. Will Bez finish second in the championship?
If he keeps this run going, he will, yeah.
The only thing for me is he's had an amazing last couple of Grand Prix, but he has faded in both of them.
Yeah, but he's still got podiums.
Still got podiums, but I think if Aldeguer was up there this weekend, he would have finished third, you know. He's showing some amazing fight and qualifying fantastic, but yeah, I still think he's a little while off.
I don't think so. I think he's been the most consistent one behind Marc Marquez.
Mm.
Definitely. Like, Pedro Acosta's up and down. Alex Marquez has been mostly down lately. And same with Banyong. It's just they've banked so many points.
We know this Aprilia's got pace now with, you know, Martin finishing fourth.
Yeah.
I think it's show the bike is a good bike. So that's something exciting for the next few rounds.
Yep.
Mr. Ducky _09. With Barcelona on the line, Martin and Bez will take the fight to Marquez. This quickly, you reckon, Duck? There you go.
Martin and Bez. Nah, because you got to remember, like, Marquez has still ridden that track a million times. It's, as I said at the start of the year, start of this episode, it is a very, very good barometer, Barcelona.
It is.
It's a very good barometer for where...
Bit of an Aprilia track.
Yeah, yeah.
With Aleix.
Yeah. Yeah, good results. Homage for Jorge Martin, who won his world title there last year. But yeah, like...
Are you betting against Marquez?
I'm never going to bet against Marc Marquez. I'm never going to do it. Like, he's just, at the moment, he's 7 from 7, doubles.
Mm.
Double trouble. It's just, you know, maybe it's a good opportunity for Bez, but you got to still remember that Marc Marquez is still riding around that track, and it's just going to be a very good barometer to see where KTM's at, where Bezecchi's at, where Costa's at, where everyone is at. Because if Marquez goes and wins by 6 seconds, you know, it's good night Irene, but it's...
Good night Irene.
Yeah, it's scary. Already good night. Yeah, it's already, yeah, it's scary for everyone else, but it's...
Irene fell asleep 3 rounds ago.
she's had 2 Valiums and a bottle of wine.
On the A330 Qantas.
Go on.
Felix Rides, spelled with a PH. Speaking of Phil of Ireland, will you guys be down at ASBK?
Yeah, we'll be down there, I believe, on the Sunday, Tom.
Yes, we will be down there for
the Aussie Superbikes.
For Aussie Superbikes. Father's Day, so I'm going to go see Dad, who lives on Phillip Island, which I'm excited about. So we'll be there for a couple of hours or so. So we'll come watch the boys.
Support. Yeah, come say good day.
Yeah, come say good day if you're down there. Tom F145 Baby Goat will be the Moto2 champ in 2026 and will move to MotoGP in 2027. Good bid that one, I reckon.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. It's not a foregone conclusion, but...
He could be like the Fermín Aldeguer gets the MotoGP contract a year before. You never know.
But like, okay, that's a good question to ask. It's not crazy to give David Alonso a contract a year out. Like, he's already proven.
Oh, yeah.
He's just young. And then maybe he needs more strength or muscle around a MotoGP bike. I understand that. But bro, as if he wouldn't put the gamble on. Like, as if he wouldn't gamble. If Ducati is already gambling on Fermín Aldeguer, which is paying off, why wouldn't you gamble on David Alonso?
Would the 850s be easier to ride, less weight as well? Or would just be negate that situation?
I don't know. I assume
less
be
aero
lighter.
As well. Less aero as well. So that might help him. If he moves into MotoGP, 27 rule change. I mean, that's a dream, isn't it?
Perfect. Brally tires. Yeah. Perfect. You know, but David Alonso is going to, you would think, have the pick of what bike. You know, imagine him, Marc Marquez, team factory Ducati.
Yeah, it's like a changing of the guard, isn't it?
Yeah. That's what you want. That's what he would want. I'm sure he's already in his manager, already seeding all that. I think he's got he's 2 years in Moto2 and he moves up.
Mitchell Bitchell Munting.
Yeah. OG fan.
But yeah, OG fan. Martin falling in love with the Aprilia, but I still don't see him winning the race this year.
Yeah, I agree with that. He's falling in love with it, but it's like a... I don't know. It's like falling back in love if your missus once she's cheated on you.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Do you really fall in love with her?
It's always there in the back of your mind.
Yeah, you've got that resentment. Yeah. That resentment's just... Yeah. I'm watching him all hugging the Aprilia guys and I'm like, I don't buy any of this. I don't buy it. I'm off.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm looking at your sister.
This is the last one.
Sparks underscore Leon. This is a very interesting take. So could the depreciation of the Japanese yen have anything to do with Honda and Yamaha? They have to spend 2 times as much as the European brands because the yen has dropped so much.
Bro, we've already talked financial services on the fucking Brazilian banks at the start of the pod. I don't know what that means.
How ridiculous that is. He might actually have some sort of 1% of facts in there, but who knows? It's hilarious.
I cannot answer that at all.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny.
But Japanese is supposed to be good of numbers and money.
Well, I think they'll produce a lot of things there as well. So, I mean, unless they're buying things from Europe, it's not going to affect them too much, is it?
There'll be some guy, if he's head in his hands, listening to this. Yeah. He's got no fucking clue.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, that's for our Accounting Republican podcast.
God, that would go down well.
Coming up next. that's it, Jimmy.
All right, T-Shavs, so let's move to the Patreon.
Jump on Patreon, guys. Thanks so much. See you later.
See ya.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Power up fall projects with Ego at Lowe's. Every tool delivers power beyond belief. So whether it's leaves, limbs, or lawn cleanup, count on Ego to deliver the power, performance, and innovation you need. And now for a limited time, save up to $60 on select blowers, chainsaws, and pole saws. Shop Ego today at Lowe's. Offers valid through 10-1 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.